Broadcasting 2.0 for September 17th, 2021, episode 54, Power to the People. Okay, maybe not as cryptic as some might think. Hey everybody, it's time once again for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We've got everything that's happening at podcastindex.org, all about every development in the namespace, and of course, the gossip and the good stuff from podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, whatever you do, don't call him Tiny Tim. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Yo, what up, dog? Did you see the game yesterday?
Yeah. No, I watched the MTV Video Music Awards, foolishly.
Oh. Okay. I was trying to be more manly, because we went all emotional last week.
No, I like that. You did a live sad puppy, and that paid off, man. You did a good job.
by the end of the show, I mean, like, we were like one step away from...
Crying?
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And hey, Dave, doing each other's nails.
We were going to crack open a Chardonnay and have a little...
A rosé. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a special board meeting. Reason being, I forget, Dave, what was your problem this Friday?
We're going to be in Chicago.
Oh,
Me and Melissa are good. Our anniversary was last month, and so we didn't have a chance to do anything for it. So we're going to Riot Fest.
Oh my goodness!
Big music festival in Chicago.
Oh wow! Yeah. Hey, you know the Keepers got the infrastructure.
Let me in.
Oh right, are they saying you need to be vaccinated? Is that the?
They said they're going to have testing. You can have either a negative test or a vaccine.
Fair.
So we're going with negative test, and they said they would have testing at the gate. So let's see.
At the gate?
Yes.
That's interesting. Was he just like, cough in my direction. No, you're good.
Well,
it does take a few minutes, at least.
It said 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, if they can do that at the gate, that'll be really interesting.
I'm afraid of this, like a repeat of our Bitcoin Miami conference gate scenario.
You mean Bitcoin Fire Festival? Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
I would suggest getting a test outside of at the gate business.
Well, they said that you could do the at home test, but what you have to do is get the test, like take the test at home, and then do their little submit it through an app and get an email. And I'm like,
I wouldn't trust that either.
I don't want to do that.
that's what I like about Rogan. He just has a nurse there. You just sit there and she does the whole thing and gives you the results and you just hang out.
We're not fancy enough to have a
nurse. We are nowhere near nurse level. Wait a minute. No. That depends, of course.
Boost!
Get a nurse for Tiny Tim.
Boost!
I'm never living that one.
Yeah. Nah, that's all right, man. So, and we have a guest today who we're going to be talking to in a moment, and we need to work.
We do.
We need to coordinate some schedule, some time, since he's on the other side of the firmament.
Yeah. What is it with us and Australians? I mean,
I can tell you.
Australia is the center of the podcast Bitcoin universe for some reason.
Well, first of all, I'm happy that we have our allies with us because the French were definitely starting to make some noise in podcasting. You know, Castapod guys, we have to push them back a bit with some English speaking people.
English is in quotes there.
Right. To me, we'll talk about it. I think Australians have some very similar qualities to Americans.
I think so too.
So it's really born
from rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. The pioneering spirit, the rebellion, the slave bracelets, all of that stuff is very much like America. Now, do we need to talk about anything in the namespace? Because I know we didn't get to that. We just talked about namespace 4 being up.
Let's see. I had a bunch of stuff listed out to talk about last week that we didn't even get to. Am I real boomy in here? Is this, I'm in my, this
yeah,
is
you're in
new,
the bunker
studio you're, here. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little boomier. You don't have anything on the walls yet. You need some stuff on the wall.
Yeah. I got nothing in here. I'm there.
You do what we used to do when we were kids, egg cartons.
I've got this little thing. Does this help at all?
Oh, what is that?
Is this any different?
I don't know. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, okay. Sounds better.
I can like stuff this behind the mic here.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say what I do in any hotel room, just put a pillow behind the mic. Good to go. Sounds right, so sounds now, like you're in a professional it studio. Perfect. It's you're spot on. I don't nice. Even, I don't even hear the drywall.
I fixed that with 75 cents worth of foam. Right. Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff here. One thing we need to talk about is pod ping, not necessarily namespace quick, but like Alex, he released pod ping
Hive Rider, right?
Like 1.0. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, the Hive Rider, yeah.
Nice. Now this is a script that you can run that will write to the blockchain, to the Hive chain.
Yeah, what this is. So for people that don't understand, sort of the chain of components in Podping.
Maybe we should explain what it is first, just a refresher of what Podping does.
Yeah, so Podping takes incoming feed URLs, podcast feed URLs, and writes them to the Hive blockchain. And the reason it does that is because Hive is a public blockchain and anybody can read from it, but you can only write to it if you have Hive, what are called posting keys. And so that's the way that it works. So what you need is some way to get these URLs and place them on the blockchain in a way that you're using posting keys that have been blessed by sort of a master posting account.
I'll take it one step back just for one second. The concept behind Podping is to circumvent the issues Apple is having, as an example. So, or any aggregator, instead of having to go and check 4 million feeds, we have over 4.5 million, or have schedules when it's most efficient, which is just a huge waste of resources because all you're doing is checking to see if something's new. Instead of this being a pull operation, Podping turns this around and the hosting companies or even self-hosters can send their URL through the system. And then that, in theory, gets picked up. Well, it certainly gets picked up by Podcast Index, but by any other aggregator, making the full publish to app round trip time about 40 seconds instead of 2 days with Apple sometimes.
And I'll say that I do not for the life of me understand why this has not proceeded fast, like more adoption faster. I just do not understand it. I know that big players are looking at it. But honestly, I mean, this is a rapid feed update notification system that is built specifically for podcasting.
And it's decentralized by its very nature.
Yes. So that's the decentralized part, is the part that Alex is working on, specifically this one component, the part that takes Hive, the part that takes the URL and writes it to Hive, to the blockchain. But that's the part that he's been Dockerizing and cleaning up the code and re-engineering everything to make it bulletproof.
Oh, cool. So I can just load a Docker and then fire off a script and it'll work?
Exactly.
Nice.
Yes. And you'll have a set of posting keys. Brian's already made you some. And
do I get Hive power?
You already have Hive power.
I have Hive power. Yes. Hive power.
Boost.
This is, every anime vision you can think of, you have this now.
Cool.
This is at 1.0 now. He released it today.
Nice.
I haven't even had a chance to load it yet. But what podping.cloud does is takes that component, the Hive Rider, and puts a front end on it for HTTP and an authentication mechanism. And it makes it where hosts don't have to run the Hive Rider themselves. It's like us hosting it for them.
Right. Or I could host it for them. Anybody could host the Hive Rider for them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So podping.cloud is just the Hive Rider with a web server front end on it. That's all it is.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So his progress on that now allows me to go and modify the front end to fit the next step of what we're doing with live notifications and all that kind of stuff.
We're really in a very interesting place. If you just look at the overall media, podcast reporting, the stories, the trends, we're in a place where, and I feel these things very much, the vibe on different apps and services. And I would say we're in a spot right now where Apple is seen as the boomer app. Like, this thing. And, it's just crusty. You know, it's not really fresh the way that people expected the refresh to be. Spotify is just getting slaughtered everywhere as not a great podcast app. Not a great experience, I would say. And this is, you know, of course, I smile about this and think, well, yeah. And newpodcastapps.com, that's where everybody should go. Find something new. It may not be the slickest just yet, but man, we've got cool features. We're really making the experience something new. And I'm excited about the live tag for the next step.
Yeah, I really want to let us be the guinea pig on that. I mean, I feel like we can...
show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Heck yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, so what we need is Steven, we need Steven B to help us put live tag into Curio Blaster.
Yep.
Then we can throw that in there. And then as soon as I get podping.cloud engineered to send the live notification, we can give that thing a shot.
And
man,
I can just give a stream URL as the enclosure. Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it'll be an alternate enclosure.
I love it. By the way, thank you, Stephen B. I published No Agenda. I think I already told everyone that. Did that with the RSS generator built into CurioCaster. Very enjoyable experience. There's one thing that I forgot. It's the channel image. And within an hour, Steven had put in a sync channel image button, big red button. Works really well. And I think what I saw him post is that he's going to do right now, if you want to create a new episode, you can copy the previous episode's contents. I think now that, now upon loading the entire feed, he'll also pull in the value blocks, which would be incredibly cool to be able to have that as a template, because there's a lot more options than I was comfortable with for putting it in for the last show, as we promised. And then we all got busy, I guess.
Well, there we need to ask our guest today.
If he's got a lightning node. Yeah. If not, then we'll give him one.
Yeah.
We've got
to make this stuff work, man.
So we've already talked so much about it. Why don't we just bring him in?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Do you have the keys?
Here you go.
No, that's not the right one.
Well, it's a big keychain. It's a big one of those big janitor
rings. Is it. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the boardroom the man who has more degrees than a Texas summer sun, Bitcoin evangelist. He's a BENG, an MENGSC, and an MBA, and an LMNOP. Please welcome Haas McCook.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us. Big fan of what you guys do. Can't wait to rip in. We'll be hitting the boost plenty of times today, I'm sure.
Oh man, he's already into the lingo. Now, Haas, is it Haas? How do we pronounce your first name? It's very unique.
Haas, like Haas. Mass.
Okay, Haas.
So, I always say like the avocado. So there's an avocado. The popular brand of avocados is the Haas type avocado.
The reason I said Haas is because we have Haas Racing in the United States.
Yes, yes.
Spelled the same way. They're not doing too well.
They're not doing too well. No, not in the Formula One, at least. I don't know about how they're doing in the US.
Touchy subject. So you're in Australia. I think it's a morning for you, and we really appreciate you coming on. Dave set this whole thing up, and he's... I'm actually going to let Dave get us going here, because I think Dave was the one who really was concerned about getting some good information about Bitcoin in general, which we always love getting, but also about the energy consumption. You are the man to go to, and lots of people are excited about this interview.
Yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, Haas, is because, and especially in podcasting, there's a lot of environmental social awareness around just energy usage and climate change and all this kind of thing. And I know that it's a topic now. I mean, it's been for a while, but really sort of the FUD has been escalating. You have articles in the New York Times now, just like this past week, about Bitcoin, you know, using more energy than whole countries and all this kind of jazz. And so, you know, I think a lot of it, if you read through it, a lot of it is just your typical sort of FUD. But I wanted to get you on because I know some people within the podcast world are going to be concerned about that. It's like, well, we don't want to, you know, maybe we should jump to this other crypto or something that's less, you know, environmentally damaging. But I really do feel like a lot of the stuff right now, specifically, a lot of it is just FUD. I mean, I read the New York Times article. I don't know if you saw it, but I mean, some of the stuff in there was just lies. It's just flat out not true.
So a lot of it. So here's the thing. So here's a coverall statement, which I think will set the tone for the rest of the podcast. So these people are not interested in energy. These people are interested in power.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Okay. Yeah. And then that this sets the tone for the rest of the conversation, because the numbers are what the numbers are, and the numbers are coming out of our ears. It's how the numbers are framed.
Right.
So if these guys actually cared about energy, like Bitcoin doesn't use any energy, like sure, maybe it uses as much as Ireland, but Ireland doesn't use any energy.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in the scheme of things.
Yeah. I love those comparisons. It's like, well, how much Ireland doesn't, they still use candles, but yeah, Bitcoin is more.
Well, so one of the things that I like about your approach though, is you tend to focus on emissions, because you can claim energy usage in a lot of different ways. So I mean, like for instance, a lake. I mean, a lake is a huge consumer of energy, solar and geothermal. It consumes a lot of energy, but its emissions output is negligible. So energy consumption doesn't really tell you anything about its impact on the environment. It's really emissions output. And you show in a lot of your material that the emissions output of Bitcoin is very small.
Yeah. So going back to the coverall statement, power versus energy, because this is more of a quest for power and control and whatnot, a lot of effort has been put into, and a lot of success has been had in conflating terms. So the conflation of the word energy and the word electricity.
Mm.
To a lot of these people, it means the exact same thing. Whereas, you know, all electricity is energy, but not all energy is electricity. So on the contrary, only about 20% of the energy we produce as a civilization is electric energy. The rest is transport, heat, and waste. But now they've conflated, you know, electricity and energy. That's a bad thing. They've also conflated energy with emissions. And, you know, all energy use is dirty. And the only way we can clean ourselves is by stop, like, using energy.
My favorite Hass is conflation of carbon dioxide, which is now just carbon.
Yeah.
That's another one. That's one of my favorites.
And not just that, carbon dioxide with greenhouse gases. Again, it's like electricity and energy. So all carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, but not all greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide.
Right.
Yeah. You know, methane,
for example, is a huge one. So because of the conflation of electricity and, energy. People think that Bitcoin needs electricity to run. This is incorrect. Bitcoin just needs energy to run. Mm. And therefore, Bitcoin can eat methane from a natural gas flare, for example. So this is basically also what the debate is. So, Adam, Dave, I'm on the clock here. I've got 30 seconds. Explain the profundity of Bitcoin to me and the justification of its energy use. Go.
Okay. Hi, this is Adam Curry here in Hill Country, Texas. I'm going to answer this by saying I think it's because Bitcoin fixes everything.
This explain God and give three examples.
So this is basically where we're stuck. So,
yep.
Like, you know, what's the right approach to answering, you know, answering this FUD? I suppose, you know, as Bitcoin and as a Bitcoin community, there is no such thing as a wrong approach to answering this FUD. As long as, you know, more and more people do it in their own particular way, I think we will eventually, you know, break down a lot of barriers. But I feel that the whole debate is just hamstrung because of the pollution in the definitions. All the waters have been muddied, and it's very difficult to define, you know, what the terms of this discussion even are.
I think there's also a pure problem in the difference between Bitcoin, the economics, the network, how it functions, and which, of course, has pros and cons for certain people who, I think there's people who are genuinely concerned about the environment or power. I'm good either way. I have my own thoughts about it. So, for instance, the New York Times article, both of those people were climatologists. They work at NGOs, you know, with all three people. They were really just anything to be in the paper saying, we're, you know, it was almost a virtue signal article. Then there's a lot of people who use that argument, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren as an example, to discredit Bitcoin, where she is really much more interested in the monetary aspect. And you know, I think she's one of the people who was behind the CDBC, a CBD central bank digital currency bill, from a year and a half ago. So there's these different camps. And it's one thing to have to explain to a banker who just hates Bitcoin and only sees the US dollar because they have complete, you know, control over making it, versus someone who says, well, I'm a democratic socialist. Here are my questions. Isn't it true that eventually only the rich people will have all the Bitcoin, and it's going to kill us within 10 years because of climate change? So those are kind of the two things that I deal with, and both have to be approached in a different way, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, the thing is, like, you know, sit me down with a socialist who is a genuine socialist and is genuine about socialism and its goals and all of that kind of stuff. And also sit me down, like, with a genuine environmentalist for just 15 to 20 minutes, and I'll have both of them signing up for a job at Great American Mining.
Stacking sats immediately.
because seriously, if you are concerned about the environment, really genuinely concerned about, like, global warming and the future, and you are not a Bitcoiner, you are not a serious person.
And can you explain this?
So, for example, like plastic pollution, we order all this, you know, cheap shit from China, ends up in landfill, spend. We got to have inflation, and, you know, none of that is causing global warming. It's my V8 that's causing global warming. It's not the actual, you know, fiat monetary system itself, you know, ridiculously misallocating capital, cheap money out of thin air, just driving buy, spend. So, you listed, you know, some of my credentials early on.
Yes.
So I'm not getting into credentialism, but one of those was a BEng, which is my Bachelor of Engineering. So I was, you know, and still am a civil engineer 2 days a week these days. But when I was doing my, like, environmental engineering subjects,
is there a lot of work there these days for the civil engineers?
No,
barricades, not much. Barricades, yeah, mate.
Exactly.
We need some more barricades there.
But the main focus, like when we were doing our, like, environmental management, you know, like, coursework, was, like, running out of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we are running out of shit, basically. Like, so when the term we came up with sustainability, right? Which is like a term that's come up from like the 70s and 80s. It basically meant to say we are running out of shit. Like we are running out of fresh water. We're running out of stuff. Like we need to be sustainable.
Right.
And we've lost all of this. Like we've got to you'd have to talk to a civil engineer to really like understand the beauty like of landfill and like landfill technology and how many billions of lives have been saved, you know, through urban sanitation. Like, we need to stop throwing things away. Like that's sustainability. And we cannot move like, to a sustainable society without sustainable money.
Yeah.
So, I totally agree. If you're not a Bitcoiner, like you're not a serious, you know, environmentalist, you're not a serious socialist. What the socialists forget is if I have 1,000,000 Bitcoin and, you know, I decide to like, you know, build an evil, you know, empire, evil capitalist, you know, pig empire or whatever. Like if I spend this 1,000,000 Bitcoin, like there's no reprints for me. Like I have to figure out a way to make this 1,000,000 Bitcoin back. And most likely I won't. So if they want like fair bell curve wealth distribution, like I'm not going to say it's going to happen in a year, but in 1,000 years, Bitcoin will probably have like a good bell curve distribution with like 3 standard deviations away from the mean, like ultra super whale rich, 3%, 3 standard deviations from the mean on the other side, like, you know, super poor, but you have a big enough, strong enough, like middle class that can, you know, look after the ultra poor without needing like a government intervention. Like I really do believe that the only way to this utopia is through Bitcoin, and even Bitcoin is not a quick way there. But it's probably our strongest weapon, like in the fight to get there. So for people that believe what I believe, fucking A. Let it use as much power as Argentina.
Well, that's one thing that I would like that I was thinking about today is, I mean, even if the worst case points brought up by by Bitcoin's the energy detractors from Bitcoin were true, I mean, I throw out a lot of this stuff lately because it's just not true. But even if some of these things were true, that still doesn't mean that Bitcoin should be stopped or attacked or you know, that kind of thing, because some things are just worth spending the world's energy on. I mean, things like, I mean, there are things that are worth spending energy on: food, clothes, vaccines, air conditioning, house construction. I mean, we spend resources, energy and resources, devising ways to make those things better all the time. And to me, If you can spend resources on a better money is one of those things that's worth spending energy on. Having a money that doesn't, you know, harm people through inflation and politically motivated banking and all the million ways that governments have screwed up money, that to me, that's worth spending energy on.
The people have been put under a spell. You know, this is what happens when you have very powerful forces who are 100% anti-Bitcoin, have just launched this with all of these comparisons. As you say, yeah, sure, Ireland, okay, great. They don't use any energy. They don't really use much. I don't even know if that's the right approach to some of these questions. I just feel like we have to come at it from a very different way instead of always on the defensive. That's why I kind of like the idea of, you know, if you can easily explain moving forward how it solves all these problems, which is just hard and it has to be individualized. But maybe we should just take a different tactic and just club these people over the head and move on.
So that's what I'm saying. Like eventually, though, you will have like, a socialist that has been sat down and orange pilled. Yeah. And he goes and orange pills his socialist friends in their socialist way. The beauty of Bitcoin not having a marketing department is that we are the marketing department.
Right.
There's just no CMO telling us what to do. We just, you know, work for Bitcoin and like off we go. With time, eventually, like the numbers, like, the numbers start to speak for themselves. Now, I'm not a fan of like of rules and, you know, forcing people to do things. But I think anyone that writes an article similar to like the New York Times article, like from last week, should also be forced to short Bitcoin. They don't have to disclose how big their short position is, but they do have to disclose that a short has been opened based on their research into like coming up with these things. So anyone that tells you like Bitcoin uses as much, you know, per transaction as a house that uses 2 months, I tell them to go and short Bitcoin.
Here's an example. We keep talking about this, some of these articles that have come out with FUD. So here's one example from the New York Times article. It says, globally, estimates of Bitcoin's use of renewables range from about 40% to almost 75%. But in general, experts say using renewable energy to power Bitcoin mining means it won't be available to power a home or a factory or an electric car. That's just the dumbest statement ever. If I've got 10 solar panels on my house, that means that's 10 less than the guy down the street can have on his house. I mean, is that what we're talking about? I mean, this is like childhood level stuff.
Yeah, no, that one's just a straight out lie. Bitcoin is generally speaking non-rival. Yes, Bitcoin does use a lot of solar and wind, but the reason it does is because it buys the solar and wind very cheaply, and it buys it very cheaply because this solar and wind would have probably gone to waste otherwise. So it's definitely not taking away from like charging a kid's toy car, but in terms of charging like vehicles. Like, here are the numbers. So remember how I told you not all energy is electricity?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the whole world's grid, we make 26,000 terawatt hours of energy per year. So 26,000. Road vehicles, passenger vehicles worldwide needs about 26,000 by itself. So to get every passenger vehicle turned electric and charging on the grid, we need to double the world's grid. And we haven't started on trucks yet.
Right. This is going to deliver great new high-paying union jobs. The Green New Deal is going to be groovy.
Yeah, super groovy.
How does a good, decent civil engineer get wrapped up in this evil Bitcoin? What happened? When did you get orange-pilled?
I just finished, get this, have a look at how hilarious this is. So again, this isn't credentialism and humble bragging. This is probably a confession of regret. So I sat through a one-year MBA program at the University of Oxford, right? Yeah. Starting in September 2012. And I did not hear the word Bitcoin mentioned once.
Oxford, everybody.
Yeah, I discovered it in my summer break during my MBA on Reddit. And the Winklevoss twins finished their MBA at Oxford the year before me. So they were the outgoing class. And during my MBA at Oxford, of all places, right, you quote-unquote elite MBA, you pay all this money to go and like... basically, if they're not teaching you Bitcoin, they're not teaching you anything, really. Soon as I read about it, I said I was a civil engineer before, worked on mega projects. So I like built like the Sydney desal plant, highway projects, rail projects. Wow. You know, because I always had this, you know, fetish for, you know, having as much impact like as possible, being an environmentalist, being socially responsible, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, when I found Bitcoin, I said, this is the only infrastructure worth worrying about. Like nothing, there's nothing more important than Bitcoin. Like, wells are important, highways are important, but nothing is more important than Bitcoin.
You said a couple of your articles that I think people should read. One of them is called Bitcoin Energy Use versus Other Industries. You can look that one up. And this one I thought was really good too, is Projecting Bitcoin's Future Energy Use. I think that one is excellent. You said something you said in here. You said in 10 short years, it's likely that Bitcoin won't emit anything at all. Can you?
Yes.
Is that too big of a thing for you to run through real quick?
Not at all. So, so basically, the all people need to know is that the world of Bitcoin mining is as brutally competitive as you can imagine. Absolute cutthroat. A race to the absolute bottom. If you can't get your hardware at absolute rock bottom prices, you have to get your energy at rock bottom prices. And the trend is energy at rock bottom prices is tending to be renewable. Yeah. So most likely by the end of the decade, not because they're environmentalists, like miners probably don't give a shit about the environment.
It's just cheaper.
Maybe they do. Who knows? But it'll be just cheaper to use curtailed solar and wind because it's going to waste anyway. And not only that, the oil field is a very real thing, eating up all of this methane. So if you were to use all of the world's methane, so all of the world's vented methane could power Bitcoin 20 times. And if we would actually pipe all of the vented methane into like Bitcoin mines, we might accidentally probably cause, you know, global cooling. Who knows?
That may be coming anyway. Whenever the government says warm, I go cold.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough to remember when it was going to be the global cooling. So I'm just a little confused there. What I find fascinating with learning a little bit more about how grids work. I lived in Texas through the Snowmageddon, where we were without electricity for several days, 4 or 5 days. It was quite interesting. No one was prepared for it. Now, as that turns out, that's also been highly politicized because as you look under the hood, it really has nothing to do with the infrastructure. It was really more about the exchange and basically Enron shadiness and people just not turning shit on because they couldn't make enough money on it. But as I've learned about it, I see that, of course, good Republicans that everybody is here, we bitch to moan, oh, it's the windmills, they froze. But what I've come to learn is that the windmills are actually a problem because they have to be turned off at certain times during the day because they're just generating too much electricity. The grid can't take it because they'll get out of balance.
It's quite funny. So, like, there's a concept. It's called, like, grid congestion. Mm. People ask me, you know, what's grid congestion? I say, you know, what's road congestion? They say, well, when the road's full, I say, exactly. Yeah. There's a limit to like how many electrons you can put into a wire.
And it has to be balanced. And it has to be balanced. The supply has to be within the range of the demand.
And that's like, it's only developing, but this is an area where like Bitcoin will show its true colors as being that source of balance.
Exactly. And this is this is what I want to ask you, if it's even possible. I don't know if this is your field of expertise. So now I'm seeing people talking about and implementing the containers, you know, very much like the methane burn off. So they take the container to the wind farm. Hey, you know, you got to shut shit down. No, don't. Just power our stuff. We'll mine for a bit. Everybody's happy. In California, the people who were sold this grandiose deal of put solar panels on your home, you can sell it back to the grid. That's now over. Now the grid guys are saying, no, we're going to charge you buying it from you. Is there a way, or is it even feasible? This is just dreams that I have, that we could somehow harness all of that excess solar panel energy that people are going to get dinged for and convert it into mining in some efficient way? Or would that really have to be decentralized people running machines at their own home?
So I know at the home level, I know over the other side of the Iron Curtain up in Brisbane, there's a suburb in Brisbane, like the government has shelled out like $8,000 per home as a grant. Wow. If each home installed like a $25,000 solar and battery array, and they were going to test out a virtual grid between the 60 homes.
Oh, cool. Oh,
okay.
I like that.
But in terms of like Bitcoin as a balancing tech, like it's underneath our noses.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's everywhere. But so here's an example. A local example I have. So in the city of Adelaide, in Australia, small city, very very high renewable content, like quite random. You know, power supply versus the demand. So there are times of the day where an electricity provider will pay you to take electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really need a container. You don't really need a setup. You just find a existing industrial unit.
Because they need to balance. So they're going to pay people. It's like negative interest rates. This is great.
Basically. So you can't, so you're not mining all day.
Right. Just whenever they like, pay you for it.
Obviously you factor this into your average costs. You find yourself like a little industrial unit. You get yourself like maybe a little, high upfront cost, but extremely low maintenance, immersion like rack. So you're still probably talking maybe 200 grand's worth of kit to like make it, you know, worthwhile to actually pay rent,
mm-hmm.
you know, at an industrial unit. And that's basically it. That's enough for basically a one man band, like kind of investment and like, you know, find little places, wherever you can find it. That's becoming quite popular. Hiring out an empty unit that already has electrical infra already in place, you know, whacking, 30 boosted up S19s, immersed, and you rarely have to check on them, and it's great. So look, where there's money to be made, where there's profit to be made. Like, I don't believe in the efficient market hypothesis. There's always ways of money to be made that people haven't found yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as there's money to be made, I don't want to get too philosophical over here and be a dick, but I just want to talk about, like, energy. Like, just, you know, the rabbit hole that is the concept of energy. So, like, this is, you know, the entire universe somehow constituted together, like it formed life, life evolved, into us, and for the past 100 or odd thousand years we've been figuring out better ways to like harness it, to grow our civilization. So energy is extremely extremely amazing and humbling thing, and really it's the only thing that matters. So as long as there's ways to to make energy, to make money, Bitcoin will be a winner.
What do you see in the field of nuclear and fusion, I guess, which is also being talked about now?
Nuclear is one of my favorites.
Mine too.
Because of, NIMBYism, like it's unfortunately DOA. that propaganda war has unfortunately been lost, I think.
Mm. That sucks. I like it a lot. I want the backyard nuke. I've kept up with those developments. It's getting pretty doable for a neighborhood.
Yeah, I used to think the first guy that the inventor of the backyard nuke, I thought he'd be the first trillionaire, but I think Satoshi will get there first.
But the
world is an energy play. So eventually, in my perfect world where my brain has ascended to the next level and it's the year, 2300 or whatever it is. And, humans have a big mastery of, energy and technology. Like I see the pursuit of Bitcoin. Taking up the majority of our harnessed energy.
Wow.
Huh.
Like, I think the energy industry will develop in terms of, like, we don't have enough energy on Earth to mine.
Why are they not doing this already? Why are the energy companies not doing this already?
Look, volatility is my is my opinion. So in the long, long ago, so like as part of my like life as a civil engineer, I spent 3 years in the toll road business. So basically, you know, the toll road business is great for a pension fund. So the pension funds are all invested in toll roads because like they know by the day, like what their cash flow is. And, you know, they can match this cash flow, you know, with their pension liabilities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the average, you know, retiree, you know, is claiming their, you know, is taking their, you know, their perpetual cash flow for, you know, 25, 30 years. They need an asset that, you know, lives that long. So a toll road is perfect. Yeah. Now, a power plant is also perfect. So, you know, you build a nuclear power plant. It's all good, and you've got, you know, mining clients, you know, for whatever it is, for at least 3 years. Sorry, for at least 30 years, and that's, you know, fantastic.
And that's my next question. The mining formula with the halvening and, so, you know, the reward gets cut in half, and then I think we have another 2.5-3 years to go for the next one. And just... back of the napkin, like 2130, 2140, maybe we'll be around the final Bitcoin to be mined. How will energy consumption change over time? Do you have any view on that?
So my view, so it's the long-term equilibrium view. So long-term equilibrium, like in as an economic concept, is like something we never reach. It's just like an ideal. But because of the nature of competition, and it is perfect, it will be in mining, you'd expect that in long-term equilibrium, the average cost to mine a coin, or rather the cost expended to collect, you know, the fee revenue at mm-hmm. that point, whatever mm-hmm. the reward is, mm-hmm. Will be equal like the market price of Bitcoin.
Right.
There is always going to be somebody alive waking up in the morning saying, okay, you know, I have, you know, X dollars. I mine Bitcoin or do I buy it?
Will it still be the same amount of energy consumption as we move through that curve, or does that remain constant?
Like hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, if it's clean, who cares?
Right.
If there's zero emissions, if it's basically free of coal, you know, free of any harmful effect or cost.
So it's still very important. Like it is of utmost importance that work is done. But like if it's clean, emission-free work for what it's worth, like, you know, does it matter if civilization is using half of its energy to secure its base money? Like I don't think that's a bad thing. That makes me sleep very well at night that, you know, half of people's energy is going into making sure that, like, I can stay sovereign and not inflated and my money's secure. Like, on the contrary, use 90% for all I care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about education. I mean, people have no idea the same Democrat socialists who I speak to do not even know that the Federal Reserve is. They don't understand how money's created. They don't know where it's coming from. There's zero knowledge of this. And, you know, for us, you know, I mean, maybe for over a decade, I've been saying, oh, you know, Federal Reserve is as governmental as Federal Express. It still works. You can still make that gag. And people go, what? Really? I didn't know that. So it's such a head. It's hard for people to wrap their head around when they don't really understand money at all.
Yeah, look, to understand Bitcoin, you have to understand, like, so many things. So, like, I always, like go back to Satoshi's resignation. So, there's a famous Bitcoin Talk forum post of his, you know, back in 2010. You know, they were writing a press release, the /dot, and he was saying, you know, sorry to be a wet blanket. You know, writing a description for this thing for general audiences is bloody hard.
Mm, yeah.
There's nothing to relate it to.
Right.
So even though I've been a culprit, you know, of comparing, you know, Bitcoin to other things, or, you know, using analogies, comparing it to like a startup business, by default, every comparison, like anyone ever makes, like any take on Bitcoin by default is going to be a shitty take. Sometimes yeah. useful, but like there is nothing we can comprehend that is like Bitcoin. So to be put on the clock and say, you know, justify why it uses 0.1% of the world's energy in 30 seconds. Like it's a very, very difficult, task. But you know, some context can at least, be set, especially when you look at, you know, the other big industries.
Mm-hmm.
So just like, you know, Bitcoin uses more than Argentina, then all right, fine. The US Army
uses more than
uses 18 times as much as Argentina.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And that's just the army. Doesn't include the Marines, or are you adding the Navy too?
That is as I call it, the long dick of the United States Armed Forces. So that's the entire thing. Well, it used to be a long dick, so I don't know about like these days. So,
who knows? We got a super circumcision over there in Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
we got a vasectomy. Maybe is more appropriate. Vasectomy. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say one of the things that you said on one of your articles. I can't find it right now, but you essentially said that. I mean, you've got an excellent track record of predicting. Multiple years in advance, Bitcoin's total energy usage, and you've done it multiple times. And you said basically that, you know, that you are not predicting energy usage based on technical reasons, not as an engineer, but for economics, that your economics are informing your predictions more so than anything. And I was looking at one of your articles, you're talking about the Pareto principle, also known as the 80-20 rule, states that 20% of the market participants control 80% of the market. And then you flip over here to this, literally you flip over to the New York Times article, and it says, in fact, operations have consolidated so much now that only 7 mining groups own nearly 80% of the computing power of the network. I mean, what, you know, can you talk about that? Just how your prediction of looking out into the future and seeing energy usage is more of an economic thing than it is an engineering thing.
So basically, I want to just briefly touch on the Bitcoin as a religion aspect. So there's very little belief in Bitcoin. Everything's in front of us. Like it's easy to trust. There's no faith. But there's like one aspect of faith or one assumption, and it's in the white paper. It's the assumption that 51% of the nodes are going to be honest and act in their own self-interest.
Right.
So we believe that at least 51% of people aren't stupid. Like they're going to do rational things.
That's quite an assumption, money. My brother. That's pretty high. Yeah, I know. Pretty
like,
high.
Yeah, I'm starting to doubt it as well. But so far, like we've been okay. So far, like in terms of like making profit, I think everyone follows their interest in that regard. And if people do like look out for their like own best interest and be greedy and be selfish, like these are what you sort of can predict can happen in a repeat game based on game theory. So this is the Bitcoin hypothesis. Like this is effectively just the game theory that's spelled out in the white paper. So if you believe that, you know, people are going to like behave in that way, then this is probably, you know, like as they say, show me the incentive and I will show you the outcome.
Right. And the incentives are clear.
Yep. Profit. And so the outcome is profit maximization.
Also, I mean, so there's one of our, one of the people in the Podcasting 2.0 group. Was very anti-Bitcoin. I would say, is that fair to say anti-Bitcoin? But really quick to say, I don't understand it. It's shit. It's funny money. And within, I don't say, 5-6 weeks, this gentleman has gone from funny money to internet token, which is a start. It's not at all understanding where we're at, but it, at least the mechanics are becoming clear. People are saying, okay, I it has use for me now, and that's in the context of Podcasting 2.0. I actually think that we are part of the game theory.
Huh. With pod, well, you know, if you have, this is one thing I've been thinking about too. When you take, you know, you see the utility of a thing first. And so the problem, part of the problem with Bitcoin now is that it's having to fight this idea of investment and that it's an investment. And yes, it has that aspect. Of course it does.
It's called the reward period, Dave.
Well, anything that can be anything that's an asset, mm-hmm. it can be an investment, and yes, that's what it is. But when you think about it in terms of a money, you know, I've been prone to saying this lately. This Bitcoin is the only, if you take all of quote unquote cryptocurrency, Bitcoin is the only one of them that acts like a money. And that's the thing. I mean, like lots of things, lots of cryptocurrencies have utility, whether it's NFTs or blockchains. You know, these things, they have utility, but Bitcoin is the only one that feels like a money. And that's where its utility lies, is in the money aspect of it. And so, like, when you begin to see it as a money, that changes. In my opinion, that changes the perspective and it changes the ideas that are in your head about what it is.
It's not about what it is. It's almost like what it's about, what it's not. So, like I was saying, there's nothing at all quite like it.
Yeah.
So, like it's like. I wish, like, you know, English was a more expressive language. Maybe that's why the French guys were starting to catch up to us.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to explain the profundity of, like, try to imagine anything in the world. Like, nothing is like Bitcoin. So when you're looking at a money, you want it to be completely useless at everything except being money. Like, you just want it to be money, or rather, you want nothing else in the universe to be like it, so it stands out on its own as money, and Bitcoin really, it stands on its own. I wish I had nicer words than that.
No, you're right.
To get to that conclusion. It's you know, more than just, you know, reading a handful of tweets and a couple of YouTube videos. So it's just got to be a prolonged decentralized effort.
I had such a beautiful experience with my daughter and my sister. They live in the Netherlands. And just recently I was able to finally go over for a quick visit. And my mom's widow, he's almost 80. And he had received, because my mom was American, they had been married, even though he's Dutch, he had received her stimulus checks. $1,400 and $1,600. And he had already figured out what my daughter had figured out is, hey, Adam, you know, you can't cash these. No bank will take them. I said, isn't that beautiful? This is literally a guarantee from the United States Treasury on this. It's signed. Look at it. Look at the sign. Look at the signature. And they won't honor that. And I said, give them to me. And I took them back. I deposited them in my bank account here in the U.S. And then I got them set up with BitMyMoney, which is, these are really good folks in Europe. And they can act as a bridge between the European, I forget the name of it, the European financial system and Bitcoin. But when I was back, and I said, okay, I just deposit them in the bank, and we just make sure they clear. It shouldn't be a problem. Which, you know, you still have to wait 2 days before the damn system works. And he's very aware of, he's aware of all this time because he's been sitting on these checks. And then I say, okay, it came in, it's cleared. I'm going to send you $2,000 in Bitcoin right now. And I even said, you know, 10 minutes. And he says, oh no, I already got a notification. And it's these moments when people see that, who are used to either a remittance or an overseas transaction or a wire, where they just go, holy shit. And he said, you know what? I think I'm just going to let it sit there in Bitcoin. I don't think I want it in my bank account. And now I think I've won.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I always tell everyone, like, you know, Bitcoin, you know, doesn't need anyone, and it'll like it'll win on its own eventually, just based on, you know, how the game theory will play out. But there's no harm in pushing it along.
Now, so you mentioned you do civil engineering twice a week. You write tons of articles. What do you do? What is your daily routine like?
So daily routine like is I split my construction duties out throughout the week. It usually takes up my mornings because they start early. But things are locked down at the moment, relatively locked down. So I've got a bit of a lighter load.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time is all Bitcoin. So yeah, happy block 700,000 to you guys.
Ooh, that, are we there yet? Place. We're almost. Did yeah, we hit
no,
it?
No, a couple of days ago. That was my retirement date. So I've gone from 5 days civil engineering down to two, and the rest is Bitcoin. So
that's your halving. Writing, you went Bitcoin, through a halving.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've been through several now.
of your time though.
Yeah, yeah. So
having so I said, time it. Having, yes.
Yeah, yeah, a personal yeah, so halving.
Want to focus more on Bitcoin, so doing a lot of Bitcoin work, consulting, advisory, and could be starting a new role very soon with a Bitcoin fund. So keep your eyes peeled.
Oh, excellent! Announcement
on that, but yeah. So hopefully, you know, working hard at it. Just got to see what happens with this whole Corona stuff here in.
You know where are you in Australia?
So in Sydney, so oh, in okay. lockdown,
yeah, you
still
are,
until you're mid-October. There
with Dictator Dan.
That's down.
No, I'm sorry. South, no, that's Melbourne.
We don't have that guy.
Right. That's
down in Melbourne.
That's Melbourne, and you've got what's the lady's name?
Gladys.
Gladys. There you go, Gladys. Yeah,
good old Gladys. Poor Gladys.
Man, I you know.
Look, a lot of times people just got to remember. I don't know about all politicians, but some politicians like they're not prepared for stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, this,
she wouldn't have signed up for this shit if she knew there was going to be pandemics and stuff like people are not ready for this kind of stuff.
They'll do
their best, but they're not going to, you know, do the best.
I mean, I take what's happening in Australia quite seriously. With my podcast, we followed everything very, very closely in the beginning. All the numbers saw very quickly that there was a lot of changes and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that were wrong. And I always thought Australia was behind, but I think you're leading us by 6 months. Yeah, I'm very, very concerned. I'm fucking concerned about it. Because this zero COVID policy just seems like a pipe dream, man. It seems like it just seems very difficult.
So there is a split now. So our red versus blue, like, is the opposite.
Yeah. Yes.
So our blues are still the liberals.
Yeah.
Our blues are still the liberals, but the liberals are the conservatives.
Right.
And so the states have split amongst like red and blue lines.
Mm-hmm.
But the conservative government has basically said, look, after 70% double vaxxed,
right,
like you guys are on your own. Like, we're not giving federal aid anymore. If you want to stay locked down, like, you can, but you got to come up with it with from state money.
Right.
Okay. So 70's the cutoff then.
Yeah. Which the modeling, which is pretty reliable. Cause we've got a pretty consistent daily rate in about a month. People here will be 70% double jabbed, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I really do hope the best for you guys, because it's just painful to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So, for me, it's just more time to run the numbers and bide my time. I think we'll be okay. So, when they say Bitcoin is hope, they really do mean it.
Well, we want to be, we want to be mindful of your time. Do you have another thing?
I've actually got to head off and speak with Gigi, who says hi, and everyone should boost in the name of Satoshi.
Boost! Yeah.
There we go.
Do you have a Lightning node? Do you have one?
I do, but it's in the middle of a migration.
Okay.
Because I want to really investigate. Like, I've been checking out Boz's stuff, and I really want to check out building a
like kick-ass a proper, node.
Properly kick-ass redundant node. And start playing around with pool and all that kind of stuff. So now that it's post 700,000, I've got a lot of that time. So hopefully next time I'm on, I will have a semi permanent one, or rather my permanent one online, and we can do it on that.
As soon as you have that, let us know. We'll put it in the value block for this episode, and in perpetuity, you'll receive sats for every single time someone listens or boosts.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And hopefully we can get you back sometime around block 700,050, or, you know, we'll figure out a good block.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So rule of thumb, we move at about 1,000 blocks a week.
Right.
Give or take.
Right.
Depending on the difficulty and whatnot. So 750 will be around a year from now.
Okay, let's talk to you before then. It'll be more fun.
Yeah, yeah, we will do. Absolutely.
At 725, you're going to drop to one, only working one day a week, so you'll have plenty of time then.
Honor, just working one normie day a week. That just means one extra Bitcoin day.
Haas, where can people find you online? Where would you like us to send you?
So people can find me on Twitter at Friar Haas, FriarHass. And you can also just find me on Bitcoin Magazine. You can look me up there, Haas McCook. I've got maybe 7 or 8 articles over there, and I'm going at a pretty good clip. I've got another big long read out today called World Peace and the Bitcoin Ooh. Charity.
Oh, outstanding!
So talk about how Bitcoin is the greatest charitable effort man has ever known. So I always call it, Adam, it's only the second ever charity where the donors also get rich. The like first it. Being the Clinton Foundation.
Excellent. Well, I'll be sure to link to that article. Really appreciate your time, Haas. Say hi to Gigi for us, and thanks for joining the board meeting. And we'll have you again. We'll have you on as soon as we can.
Absolutely, pleasure being on. Thanks for having on, and boost in the name of Satoshi. Take care.
Boost. Thanks, Haas. Take care.
Thanks.
See you. Bye bye. Okay, hold on a second, Dave. Let me just. Close the door.
What a great guy.
Fantastic. Completely different voice and speaking manner than I expected.
Yeah, that you look at his profile pic and stuff, and
I'm like, this is gonna be a total nerd. He's gonna be kind of like academic, you know. I don't know. It just I had a whole different vibe. This is great. What a great guy.
Yeah, cool. That was awesome.
Very cool.
We want to thank some people.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. Value for value. That is the mantra. That's how we survive. That's how the project survives, and it survives based upon you. And you just heard it here. If you are boosting in the name of Satoshi to the show, you are not only being philanthropic, but you're going to get rich. And if not, just go to Haas's Twitter and say, "Hey, what's up?"
I was promised riches.
I was promised to get rich. So we still take cuck bucks, fiat fund coupons at podcastindex.org. Go down the bottom and click on the red donate button, and you'll be able to send something through PayPal. And we also have our boostograms for. You want to start with boostograms? Because I saw a couple of good ones come through.
Yeah, let's do cuck bucks first.
Oh, cuck bucks it is.
I've got them on because I've got them on top of the pile already.
All right, go for cucks.
Benjamin Bellamy gave us $50. He says, He says, thank you for bringing effing magic to podcasting. I'll be bringing podcasting 2.0 to the Amsterdam Podcast Festival on 9/24.
Yes, very cool.
Put your podcast on the map. And he says, I'd love to hear Adam say that in Dutch. Put your podcast on the map.
Oh, that's a very that's a very American expression. Let me think what the Dutch saying would be. Okay. Here it comes. It's going to be hard for a Frenchman, for any person if you're not Dutch, actually, because it's going to sound like I have gastrointestinal issues. Ready? Zorg dat jouw podcast op de kaart staat.
Oh, do that. Do that again.
Zorg dat jouw podcast op de kaart staat.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
I love that. He says, go Le Podcasting and vive Le Boost.
Vive Le Boost.
Vive Le Boost. Boost. Let's see. Oh, Ed Ryan. Ed Ryan of Radio Inc. Magazine, Podcast Business Journal. He gave us $50 and he says,
thank you, Ed.
I always listen to the show Saturday morning when riding my bike to the beach. It's a 45-mile ride, 45 miles, that I start at 3:45 a.m.
Holy crap.
Dave's story about having shingles, the cop writing his wife a ticket, was fabulous storytelling. Ed Ryan. No. If I rode... I sent him an email. I say, if I rode 45 miles to the beach,
you would be dead.
Be a one-way trip. Yeah. I would come back in a stretcher. Thank you, Ed.
Medevac, but you'd come back.
Yes. Yeah. All right. That's our Coke Bucks. We got some boostergrams. Let's see. Boostergram from Chris 4822. Let's see. 482572. That is not his birth name. Mm. He says, that's from the Fountain app, and he says, ignore my previous boostergram. Well, Chris, I didn't even see your previous boostergram, so it's ignored. I found the Extract TLV GitHub. Oh, that's for extracting boostergrams from your node.
Yes.
Saves me from digging through reason.fm spam to search for a boostergram response from Dave. Looking forward to playing with the script, and he gave us 20,001 sats.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Yes. Let's see. Brian of London. Let's see. He gave us multiple boosts here. And he says, it is working really nicely. Okay.
Thank you.
I guess he's talking about Castomatic. That's the boot. That's the app.
He's boosting from. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. He's testing out his Lightning to Hive gateway money machine.
His money changer.
Yeah, his money changer. Yeah.
I imagine like Brian standing there, the digital Brian has one of those coin changers on his belt. He's like, oh, okay, one came in. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Here you go, Hiver. Oh, another one came in.
You hit the lever and it shoots out quarters and dimes. Yes.
Exactly. That's on his belt. Like it. Total Rube Goldberg. I love it. Hey, we just have to say, there is another crypto that works with podcasting 2.0. You can use Hive.
I have no idea how it works, but it works.
Hey, I have Hive power, so I'm down.
No, you're good. Let's see. Sir Bill gave us 1,000 sats, and he says, boost for Tiny Tim.
Aww. Boost!
That's going to live with me forever.
Yeah, you bet. Stephen Kruger. 10 years from now at the podcast conference, hey, are you the shingles guy? Where's your crush? What's your name? Tim? Tim's your name, right? Tim?
Yeah, Timmy. Stephen Crater gave us 1,000 sats, and he says, appreciate you sharing your story. Well, thanks, Stephen. No, I appreciate you, Stephen. Let's see, 500 sats from Dave Jackson. Oh.
Yes, Dave. Thank you so much for continuing to do Leading the Bleeding.
Is
bleeding the leading or leading the bleeding?
No. Is it fair to say friend of the show?
That's, you know.
I said that just to piss you off.
Friend of the pod. Just do it. Throw it all out there, Dave. Go ahead. Yeah. Friend of the pod.
Okay. Pod bud. Dave Jackson.
Pod bud.
Yeah. He gave us 500 sats and he says, thanks for the personal story, Dave. I got a ticket by my university to pick up my diploma. They will not get a penny from me for the alumni drives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
Show them what's... Yeah. Give it to them, Dave.
Right.
All right. 1,123 sats from Kyron. Oh, our buddy Kyron.
From Mere Mortals.
Yeah, Pod Buddy. He says, totally agree with there being an incentive for apps to play around with their features and settings. I use Breeze for streaming, i.e. podcasts with chapters that are fixed part of my schedule. Mm-hmm. 2.0, Podland, testing my own podcast. Podfriend for new podcasts and sending them boostergrams. CurioCaster for long boostergram messages when I am on the laptop. Fountain for small, easy tests of pods that are just getting into the 2.0 features. Yeah, cool.
I agree. I have the same. Like when I flew to Holland, I used a combo of Breeze and Podverse.
Oh yeah,
And that worked really well. It's so nice.
The whole bottom half of the front page, the first page of my phone, like the whole bottom half is all apps. Is podcast apps.
I have it in a folder.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea. Let's see who we got here. Oh, Kyron again. 5,522 sats, and he says, wow, that mix-up at the end was incredible. Boosting again just for that.
Rulfie. Good job, Rulfie. That was nuts. Yeah. Everyone liked that a lot.
That thing was crazy. See, Guy gave us 3,838, so 3,838 sats. He says, Dave, I really appreciate getting a peek into the Jones story. Go podcasting and go beach towels.
Go podcasting!
Beach towels.
I'm beach towel deficient right now.
I saw
that's
someone.
That's why it's boomy.
Someone tweeted something at me today, and I immediately told the No Agenda Shop guys they should look into that. What was it? I'm going to take a look at it. Did you say that they have that T-shirt? The Are you even in the index, bro?
I've got that T-shirt.
Oh, you have it? Okay. I don't even have
that
one.
That thing's cool. Yeah. No, I buy everything they put out.
They put out a lot of cool stuff. Let me see. What was it? Someone had a great
line. High quality too, man.
Oh yeah, it's like join the boostagram revolution.
That's a good one. I like that.
If you ain't boosting, you ain't supporting.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was. Go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say I was listening to Sounds Profitable, and had on this delightful young lady. She's running a firm that represents podcasts. For I think mainly host endorsements, but also streaming ad insertions, and their company focused on kind of the rest. So, not the big names. They've got this whole large level in the middle, and I'm just listening to the numbers. I'm like, oh my god, I want to call this lady and say, why don't we talk to all of the podcasts you represent and make them some real money? If they can do host endorsements, they can endorse their own show and learn how to do a value for value ask. And they'll make more money, and they and the agency would make more money. Anyway, I decided we'll wait probably half a year, and then I'll have you call her. That's the way that'll work better. You get shit done. I call like washed up MTV guy. Yeah, never mind.
Well, Brian Barletta is a great guy. We probably talked for an hour. We had it's probably been 3 weeks ago. I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I can't remember. But it was supposed to be me and him and Dan Benjamin doing a thing on the ULID stuff on Sounds Profitable, and Dan's schedule got mixed up. And so we weren't able to do it, but me and Brian, and we didn't find out until right before the thing was about to start. So me and Brian just ended up basically on a Zoom call just with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we talked for like my entire lunch break and, he's a great guy. He's got a lot of good ideas. This story has no point other than to just say, I think he's a great guy. He's a go-getter. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing, working with him a little bit more.
Yeah.
He's not like, he's realistic. I mean, he's in the ad tech thing, but he's not sold out to, no other model. Like he's trying to make the whole thing better and work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that, I think that he's absolutely somebody who gets it. Yeah, I mean, we had him on our show before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, Mary Oscar gave us 7,777 sats. That's his numerology for sure. He says,
we recognize it now.
The conversation around misinformation and free speech is one that's the most important of our time. And what better place to have it than on in the Podcasting 2.0 boardroom? Agreed. Let's see, 3,333 sats from Wudgeman. He says, Podcasting 2.0 reignited my desire to start producing shows again.
Nice.
Unofficial sportsbook podcast and taking Marvel. Is it taking Marvel Plus?
Maybe talking.
Talking Marvel Plus fans rejoice. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
tell me what you need, man. I know the CEO of Marvel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Real nerd.
Oh, really?
It's a real super nerd. Yeah. I'm not talking about the, I mean, he's now co-CEO because he's CEO. I think he's kind of slipping out the back because he's not like Disney material. He's like Trump's best friend.
Is this hard? Like, I may be lying here, but I thought I remembered hearing recently that Marvel's like executive leadership, they're older, right? I mean, they're older guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now the what's his name now? Sal or Al or, you know, some super New York Jewish business guy. And he's got to be in his 70s. But, yeah. You know, ever since they, you know, Disney acquired them, it's like he is not Disney material. So the CFO, who I know, has now kind of become like a co-CEO. You know, he's more of an operator. Okay. And they also don't own the cinematic universe. That's a separate unit. But if you want something with the comics, let me know.
Oh, so he's on the comic side of things.
Yeah, and also NFTs, actually. They're going to do huge NFTs.
Man, Marvel got so screwed back in the 90s when they got so desperate for money and they sold rights to everything. Yep. I mean, they're doing fine now, obviously, but I mean, man, they talk about bad times.
Yeah. That's what you do.
See, 4,949 sats, 4,949 from John's Burt. He just says, get better, Dave.
Aw.
I'm fine, man. I'm good.
It's all right. I'm already looking for bleach cures for you.
Oh, yeah. And UV. I'm going to shoot bleach in my veins.
Bleach.
Stick UV up my butt. Yeah. Flick. See, 10,000 sats from Flicky Bobber B at noagendasocial.com.
Flicky Bobber B. All right.
Okay. And he says, boost.
Boost.
10,000 sats. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
5,000 sats from Anonymous. That's on Breeze, so they're all anonymous. He says, Duke, dude named Ben here. Thank you for the work you are doing to keep our speech free.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Is he an actual, is there a Duke dude named Ben?
Yes. Just a couple, actually, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Getting some Duke crossover here.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we already have the Ronamo, so it should be Ronamopes.
No, it's Ponaromo.
Ponaromano.
Yeah, Ponaromano. Anonymous gave us 1,000 sats, and he or she just says happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's from the 52 episode. 52. I see it.
Yep. Coming from Breeze.
Yep. Bill Prague said he gave us 500 sats, and he says, no idea, would it? But maybe the Wim Hof breathing could help with that.
Oh,
Wim Hof.
Oh, my goodness. With shingles. Yeah. Wim Hof, Dutch guy. He's the one that does the ice baths. You've got to see this guy. He controls everything in his body with breathing and particularly with ice water. And this is.
What?
Oh, yeah. This guy is amazing. He injected himself with E. coli just to prove that he would not get sick through his technique. And he didn't.
Bullshit.
Yeah, and he did not. Yeah, you've got, it's mind-boggling, this guy.
Okay. Okay, here I'm going to say something. I was thinking about this the other day. This brings it up to my mind. The part, we're removing, some of the problem with COVID is we're removing the power of
the human body.
The testing. Okay, it's the testing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like the constant testing all the time.
But stop.
What?
PCR is never even intended to be a test. That's biggest scam is the testing.
Agreed. But here's my angle on it, though. The testing is removing the power of placebo. The placebo power of the mind is incredibly real. Like, it works. If you think you took something, we don't even know how often this happens.
In fact, in medicine, placebo is called the placebo problem by the scientists.
Yes. because it actually, there's a certain percentage of the time where the placebo effect is the thing that heals mm-hmm. you, not the medication or yep. not whatever it is you take. That's the whole idea. I mean, like, that's how the, was it the, what's that thing where you take little bits of stuff and dissolve it in water? And
microdosing?
No. Like, I keep wanting to say apothecary, but that's not.
Compounding?
Something. Somebody will correct me.
Someone will boost.
Like, yes. It's like you take these little bits of mineral or little bits of something, and you dilute them in large amounts of water, and then you take it, and it's supposed to have these effects. But like, it's all placebo, but it's super powerful. But if you test all the time, then you're making the mind depend on the test and not the and you.
Oh, it's good like you point.
Yeah, wash away the placebo you. And take I it away you. From you. Yeah.
Well, I'll make it one step worse. In all the vaccine trials, they had a control group, and the control group, of course, gets a placebo. And you need the control group to see, you know, what's the difference between the actual medication and people who believe they got the medication, or at least they don't know. Because if it's double blind, the doctors don't know either. But it wasn't. And what they did was, after I think something like 2 months, they said, all right, everyone who's in the control group, we're just going to give you the vaccine. Now we have no control group and no placebo effect to look at, to study.
They should have just, when they say, okay, if you get the vaccine, you never have to test again. Then, if you're fine from then on out, you're good, like placebo. It doesn't matter if any of it, it doesn't matter what worked. It's just you stop testing and you're like, you're good.
And you cannot mention placebo without talking about its counterpart, nocebo.
No, it's nocebo.
True. No, it's the opposite. Nocebo.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I learned this from Mo, actually. Even though I'd heard of it, he really took me down that path.
He said mocebo.
Nocebo. A detrimental effect on health produced by psychological or psychosomatic factors such as negative expectations of treatment or prognosis.
So the opposite.
The testing is probably a nocebo effect.
Oh yeah, because you're so worried that you're going to come up positive.
Yeah,
I'm having this right now.
Yeah,
because we're going to Chicago, and I'm so afraid. I know I'm fine, but I'm so afraid it's going to come back positive. Maybe I'm going to make it positive.
That's why whenever I see those pharmaceutical commercials come on TV at night, I mute the sound, and I don't look. I'm so afraid if I keep watching that shit, I'm going to have psoriasis. I already have tardive dyskinesia, although it's not from that. I have the same symptoms. You know, it's like, holy crap, rheumatoid arthritis, and I'm depressed. I just go shoot myself now. You ask Tina. I just turn it off. Just turn off the sound. I don't want to hear it, and we do not watch. Deathly afraid of that shit.
Wim Hof.
You need to see this guy. You'll love him.
Okay. You'll love him. I'll look it up.
You'll love him.
Thank you, Bill. Let's see.
Yes. Oh, another great tip from your podcasting 2.0 board meeting.
5,000 stats from Anonymous. This is Kyle Hebert. Boost from the boost guy in the clip you play. Kyle Hebert, the intergalactic boombox.
Here's a
boost
from the boost guy. Thank you, Kyle.
5,000 sets.
He was just lazy. He didn't want to fill out his name in the from field. Yeah. That would be great, by the way, if that stuck.
What?
If the from field, instead of always being default anonymous, if it had your name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Breeze, I guess they just want to keep everything.
That's right. Breeze has no name. Although I did mention that to Roy. I said, you know, name is also. He said, well, let's first see how the boosts work. Okay. Boostograms with amounts. This is great.
B. Mazzi says, Brian Mazzi. Brian Mazzi says, thanks for sharing your stories, Dave. Very powerful. 10,000 sats.
Whoa, thank you, Brian. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Boost. That one cracks me up. Okay, we got some monthly donations.
Especially since boosters are now on hold again in the U.S. I mean, Fauci can't get his boost together, but we got boosts.
Well, I keep looking for the word, but like I'm trying to find more ISOs, and I can't find any that are good. But I'm on a boost quest.
They'll show up. They'll show up.
Boost quest. Okay, Jeremy Cavanaugh gave us $10. And these are our monthly guys. Jeffrey Rutherford gave us $5. Alex Gates, $25. And I still marvel the fact we got a consultant to pay us, which is awesome.
That is great, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, we also had Hassan. I mean, he's a consultant, too.
We are winning.
Yeah, we are winning. Right now, we are super winning. Yes. Everything for free, Dave. Including free the work the we do.
Yes, that's true. Chris Cowan, $5. David Norman, he that cannot be found, gave us $25. Derek Visker, I hope your baby's doing good, David. Derek Visker gave us $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. Damon and Derek both been around for a long time. Appreciate you guys. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
It's always good with him. His numbers always check in, 2222.
And Soren Mueller, also a long timer, $10. Thank you, Soren. That's our guys.
Thank you very much, because you are really helping this happen. It's the time, the talent, the treasure. We see, some people given all of it. It's so much appreciated. Look at what's happening. We're just a year into this, and we got runway, we're rolling.
Yeah.
I would say we have liftoff, actually.
I want to get live working. I mean, we've got phase four. We don't have a guest next week. We've got phase four tags. We can talk about a lot of, we can get back to podcast stuff next week.
Okay.
And talk.
I'm sure all kinds of shit will happen in the meantime.
Oh yeah.
Something will pop up that we have to fix.
I really love you.
Something will happen in podcasting we need to go save, damn it.
I'm excited about live. I want us to be the guinea pig, and maybe we can try to, I want to try to get at least one live stream, a guinea pig test live stream out the door.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, in the next couple of months. I don't know if that's realistic, but.
Now, will
maybe
we be
by the end of the year?
Will we? Okay, so having some standing in the arena, the minute we go live is the minute we say, "Holy crap, we need a feedback loop," because the whole. I have the IRC chat, which is the troll room. Mm-hmm. So the minute when you're doing live, it's what's cool about live is that you have the immediate response from people on the other end. So I know that that we're not quite there with comments, but if we're doing live, does your Boostagram reader script, also known as the BRS, does it pull in real time? So if people are boosting us while we're doing live, will we see these come in? Because if so, I will have a boner from here to Tokyo. Sorry. It's just that would be so cool. That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't do it full time. Real time. It's delayed currently, but I can up the check time where it'll check like once a minute.
You need a Boostagram pod ping. Delay. You need a Boostagram pod ping.
Oh, stop. You're blowing my head up. That's what Rolfie sent an email and was like, hey, we need per chapter episode splits. I'm like, just stop.
I gave you a mix, man. What's your problem?
Yeah, seriously.
The thing is, the whole point of the mix was, Dave, have you built it yet? So here's Rolfie, maker of the mix, going, hey, he can do anything, that Dave guy. He's a magician. I heard it from the Namibian.
No, I can't do crap right now. No, this is not doable. This is bad. we're not doing this.
I do think it's funny though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can boost the check time up to like once a minute, and they would be delayed by like 1 minute.
Yeah, a minute. I mean, that's 10 seconds for the stream buffering. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's doable, right?
It'd be hilarious.
Oh, the podcastindex.social could be a makeshift, feedback loop for the beginning, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying we're going to need it. We're going to need it, because that's the beauty of live. Live really comes to life when that's why YouTube Live works. It's the comments, it's people being, or the super chats, all of that. So we'll basically do live with super chat only.
Mm-hmm. I've got to think about this. This is
Come on, Dave. You can do it.
No. It's too late. It's too late to be thinking about doing things.
All right. So what do we need to get the? Well, that's gonna. We still have a little bit to go, don't we? Or can we? Can we? Mm-hmm. How? I mean, do we have receiving sides for the live tag?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, tell you what. If we can get the transmission side, maybe someone will build a radio receiver for it.
By the way, Castos.
Yes.
They released some support for Podcasting 2.0 tags, podcasting host. Castos.
Oh, great. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
They did today. They released support for funding, locked, and what else was it? Let me look it up real quick.
It's all right. I'll take it. Welcome to the party, guys.
Yeah. GUID. Yeah, GUID tag. Yeah, funding locked and GUID tag. There's also another host that is doing a few tags that I'm just not going to say because I'm not sure if they want to announce it, you know, themselves. But there's another host that's also putting in some tags. So on the production side, on the hosting side, we're starting to see some things pick up here.
Yes, and the CastOS guys and gals put in a pull request. Yeah, put in a pull request so we can get you on the new podcastapps.com page.
Yes.
Anyone, make sure you're on this. This page has grown, man. Mm-hmm. This is so cool.
Yeah. And I'm working to get Franco on the show now from Castomatic. So we'll have him on hopefully soon.
Excellent.
This week we learned that the developer of Castomatic is also a physician in his day job.
Can he write us a prescription for ivermectin?
No. He's not a vet. He's a doctor.
I got my crackers. I need my pace, doctor.
I wasn't expecting that. He's like,
come on.
By the way, during my day job, I'm a physician.
We've got all kinds of great people. We have all kinds of fantastic backgrounds. This is what I love so much about this project. And that's what podcasting is. It really is.
There's ISO. What do you know?
Okay.
But what do you know?
Ew, we could use that one more often.
Yeah.
I'm going to save that one.
I've been going for a while. That's about all I got. You got anything?
No, I don't think I have anything else. I have that article. There was some bull crap on, we already talked about Spotify. I guess the only, just again, for people who want to try some of this stuff out, get CurioCaster and you can mess around with your own feed, or you can actually look at how other people's feeds are built, and you can experiment with some of the tags. I think we're now showing up with at least we've got the host, the person stuff working. I saw faces appear. So that's cool.
Yes.
And
did we figure out how to get them into the channel?
I think Stephen B. already put a fix in for that. I'm not sure. He works so fast.
He's probably just doing the same thing with the image. He's probably just
syncing it up. Yeah, syncing
it up. Lifting it up to the top. Yeah.
So, you know, more of these things that we are discovering now. Like, channel level overrides. I mean, all these little things. This is really great. There is a self-hosting revolution coming. I see more and more people talking about it. More people are interested in it. IPFS is cropping back up, although, man, we've had a lot of trouble with the database replication or download with IPFS. Do we know what that is? Where it's breaking? Because it just sours me on the whole thing.
It's the daemon. It's the IPFS daemon. Is it daemon or demon?
I say demon.
Okay,
but you're right. At daemon.
Yeah, I'm gonna say daemon because everybody else seems to say it. It's the IPFS daemon that crashes, and it crashes once or twice a week, and I've got it auto reviving itself. Mm-hmm. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start putting it in object storage also, just because I'm tired of people having a bad experience with it.
Yeah, it's been not been good.
So I'm also going to be on the IPFS podcast
here
in a week or two. Yeah, and I guess.
Are these the Flat Earth guys?
Yes. Yes.
You got to lay some firmament first on them. That'll blow their minds.
I don't know.
Wait, no. Try this one. Crater Earth. This is a new one I've been looking at.
I've not heard this term. Yeah. What's Crater Earth?
Well, we're actually in a crater on a much larger Earth. So the whole Earth, our idea of Earth is in a crater. Yeah. Think about it.
Oh, okay. Okay, Kosi. So that's why. So you got the ice ring.
Yes.
Around the outside, and that's just the rim of the crater.
It's the crater rim. Yes, exactly. Oh,
I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah, I'll send you the YouTube videos. This one's phenomenal. Actually, I think it's a brighty on this one. This one doesn't. This one won't fly on YouTube.
No, like Eric the other day in the chat, he was like, moon equals fake.
I heard another NASA guy. It was during the MTV Video Music Awards, which I just it just tickled me. This is so MK Ultra, man. Don't let your children watch that. And they had obligatory shot to the space station with male and female astronaut. The whole thing equitably divided. They're hanging on their wires as usual. They're hanging on their wires in front of the green screen with the CGI. But they literally said, "We can't wait to go to the moon and beyond." I'm like, does anyone read the scripts? They keep doing this. I've heard so many NASA people screw up over this. Yeah, one day we'll get to the moon and even further. I'm like, excuse me? My parents got me out of bed. I was like 4. Watch this, kid. I'm like, all right.
I almost bought you this the other day. There was a thing that a buddy of mine sent me. It was an auction for a negative of the original, some of the original footage from the one of the Apollo missions. And it was like an auction thing, like some kind of online auction. And I think this was like one of the copies of the film they did. It wasn't like it wasn't original.
Right.
But it was like some of the reprints, and it was like, I don't know, 20 frames on a little, what do you call that? It's not cellophane. It's whatever that film.
Celluloid.
Yeah. Celluloid. Yeah. It was like about 20 frames on a little strip. And the auction was like, it was like $50 or whatever. I was like, oh man, I need it. And so he sent it to me. He's like, hey, here's your proof of the moon landing. And I was just screwing around with him. I was like, man, it looks like Nevada to me.
Do you know that NASA has admitted they lost all of the moon landing tapes?
Yes.
I mean, these guys they make it so much fun.
Yeah, they do.
Really, really appreciate it. Mark Hall, he gave me a t-shirt for my birthday. I'm trying to find if there's a picture of it. And it's like a moon landing film crew. It's a crew t-shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. Very funny. All right. Well, then I think we're good for now. Enjoy Chicago. Have a, congratulations. How many years you guys been married?
22 years.
22 years. And they never had a fight.
Nope.
Unbelievable.
Not a single one.
All right, everybody, remember to support us, to boost when you can.
Boost!
And thank you very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. Dave, have a great trip, and we'll talk to you next week in the boardroom.
All right, man. See you.
Okay. That means you too. We'll be expecting all of you here. Your seat will be ready, the coffee will be hot, and the donuts will be fresh. Until then, take it easy. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
But what do you know?
Boost!
Go podcasting!